is the Big 550 KTRS, the large morning show in the afternoon. Frank O'Pinion has the afternoon off. We'll be back here on Monday. I'm Paul Harris, proud to be behind the microphone, taking his place.
And you just totally threw Steve the conductor off.
Oh, I know.
He can't conduct this song.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, Steve. But Tina Dalpiez is here, Eon the Peon, Outdoors Ned, and Dan Strauss all here with me as well. And frankly, we're just happy to be alive. I mean, this is the day that NASA blew up the moon.
Yeah.
It was about 11 hours and, well, almost 11 hours ago. And I don't know exactly why or what we did or whether it worked or any of that. So I've asked a planetary geologist to join us here this afternoon, Emily Lakdawalla, who blogs about science and astronomy for the Planetary Society. Hi, Emily. How are you this afternoon?
I'm doing well. How are you, Paul?
Good. Thank you for joining me. What did we do there, and why are we blowing up the moon?
Well, we're not blowing up the moon, of course, but we did deliberately crash a spacecraft into it, which may sound just about as silly. But what we were trying to do was kick up dust that might contain water in it, because one thing that we're really interested in looking for on the moon is a source of water that future astronauts could use for human exploration.
Okay, so we're eventually going to try to colonize the moon?
That's a long-term goal, yes.
And they're going to be thirsty?
Very thirsty. Yeah.
It could be like the QT of outer space.
Well, it's a long
stop
ride.
Stop by, you get some water.
Yeah, and it does take 4 days to go there, and I guess that way we wouldn't have to bring along bottled water.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Water's very heavy. It would be awfully nice if we could find it there instead of having to carry it with us.
So do we know yet whether we found water there?
We do not. And it's kind of funny. The project scientist was a little bit cagey about that. He said he might know by this afternoon, but he wasn't going to tell us yet. But the reason was because he wanted to wait until he had time to consult with all the other scientists on the team and all the scientists on the telescopes that were looking on the ground and see if they could all come to an agreement about what they actually saw.
All right, but explain this to me. They thought there was ice under the ground, or like, did they think there was an underground water stream on the moon?
No, they're looking in extremely cold places. In fact, it's one of the coldest places in the solar system because these craters at the south pole of the moon, since they're at the south pole, they don't get sunlight. The sun strikes the south pole at a very, you know, low angle, and if you've got a hole, then the sun never gets to the bottom of the hole. And so at the bottom of those craters, it's permanently shadowed forever. And so any water that ever lands on the moon can actually, when it goes into a gas, it sometimes collects back on the surface, and if it gets into one of those cold spots, it just never goes away. So over billions of years, there could have been quite a bit of water actually collected at the lunar poles.
We think there might be like a lake there in one of those craters?
Well, a lake of frozen ice, but it's probably not pure ice. It's probably kind of mixed up on very small amounts with the lunar soil, but it would be enough for astronauts to work with, some people theorize.
But we've never been able to find any water there. We were just essentially saying, we don't know what's in this dark spot. Let's go and find out.
Well, we had a clue that it was there. There are other spacecraft that have detected a lot of hydrogen down there. And one of the most likely things for hydrogen to be in is water molecules. Now, it could be other things. We could have a really big surprise. It could be methane. Who knows? But one of the most likely things is that it's hydrogen, is that it's water.
That's on Uranus. I think they found methane.
Methane is all over Uranus. Yeah.
Did we have to consult any other nations before we did this? Because the United States doesn't own the moon. Did we have to ask anybody, hey, we're thinking about crashing this thing into the moon. Is that okay with you
guys?
It's
a good question. Yeah.
Well, you know, this wasn't the first time that a spacecraft has deliberately crashed into the moon. It's actually happened about 30 times before. Both the United States and Russia have done it. India crashed their spacecraft into it recently. Japan has crashed two spacecraft into it. So it's actually quite common. And an impact this size happens to the moon every single week. So it's very common to have stuff like stuff this size hit the moon.
So we didn't take a big chunk of green cheese out of it and blow its whole gravitational pull or anything?
Absolutely not. We made the most undetectable little just kind of smidgen of a crash. I heard one of the guys on the press panel yesterday talked about it was kind of like if you're on a 747 and one of your eyelashes fell to the floor,
oh my goodness,
that's how much the moon felt the impact.
Wow.
Oh.
Well, nobody asked the moon, though. It felt the same way.
Well, you can ask the man on the moon.
Yeah, I think this would be like you're on a 747 and somebody reaches over and violently rips an eyelash out of you.
Yes.
Just to see it from the moon's perspective, Emily.
But they have to observe this through telescopes to see whether or not there's moisture or there's how else? I mean, what are they doing?
Well, they were observing it in a lot of different ways. They had a Shepard spacecraft that was following behind the larger one that crashed. Then there's one in orbit that was observing. That's the Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter. Then there were about four or five spacecraft in Earth orbit that observed, including Hubble. And then there was a large number of the world's biggest telescopes were also observing. So it was a very well-watched impact.
All right. I was watching it, too, because they had it on NASA TV. And I didn't get up early enough. I know you were watching it, too, but I watched it later on my DVR. And, frankly, I couldn't tell what the heck was going on. It looked like they suddenly lost the signal, and then when the signal came back, we had the same picture that we had before. Could you, as a planetary geologist watching this, could you know, oh, we really hit the right spot?
Well, you know, I have to admit, I was also a little underwhelmed. I was looking for an obvious impact plume, and I didn't see one. You know, I watched, we did a kind of similar experiment to a comet a couple years ago. Deep Impact crashed into a comet, and it made a spectacular, gorgeous plume. And so I think that those of us who watched that were thinking of Deep Impact and hoping that we'd see something big, and nobody did. I think even the LCROSS personnel were a little underwhelmed by it. But there are spacecraft that they have since seen data that they detected the flash and they got the data that they need in order to answer that all-important question about was there water underneath the ground.
I didn't see the thing on the comet, but I saw the movie Deep Impact, and compared to that, this was nothing. Nothing at all.
Yeah.
So, Emily, let's say that the NASA scientists and everybody else looks at this and they get a 100% positive result. Yeah, there's definitely hydrogen and water here, and everything we hoped for. Or we have found.
Mm-hmm.
What's next?
What's next is, well, we can go ahead with plans to set up a human colony on the moon. Frankly, I have no idea what the timeline for that's going to be. It really depends on whether the American public is committed to it. And it's really important. If people want to see astronauts on the moon, if people want to travel to the moon in their own lifetimes, they got to tell Congress that that's what they want to do.
Yeah, but nobody was going to want to go to the dark side of the moon, not the Pink Floyd album, but the literally dark side of the moon where the sun never shines. Who's going to want to go there?
Well, you know, one of the funny things about the South Pole is that while there are spots that never see the sun, there are also some mountains that always see the sun. So you could actually set up a lunar base on the peak of one of those mountains that would have, you know, solar power 100% of the time. You could have a mine down in the floor of the crater that was able to get at your water, and you'd actually be relatively happy sitting there.
Okay, see, this is the tourism part we have to promote.
Yes.
The greatest tanning parlor in the universe.
Yeah.
Solar tanning.
People would be more interested in going to that than, a dark place where it's incredibly cold.
But will they have pina coladas?
Well, if you get water, then you probably
have to get start.
You're going to have ice, but you have to bring up the booze.
I wonder, if you were there, you'd never have your skin exposed because there's no oxygen, right?
Right.
Well, presumably there would be some kind of safe environment that you'd be living inside. You wouldn't be able to stay in a spacesuit the whole time. You'd be in some kind of, I don't know, dome or probably underground. Because you have to shield yourself from solar radiation, too. You wouldn't have the ozone layer to protect you from UV radiation.
All right, you're going to have to downplay that for tourism. Don't bring up the word radiation when you're trying to sell
ozone.
These moonshots.
But, you know, from those permanently lit South Polar Mountains, you'd have spectacular views of Earth all the time as well.
That's true.
Hey. Oh, that'd be cool.
That'd be very pretty.
That would be very cool. And remember, here's the way you promote this. Only 12 people have been there.
That's why I moved to Waterloo.
Look at the people. I don't.
Yeah,
think
but you knew there was water there. That's the name.
Yes.
And you go, look at the beautiful full Earth tonight.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Must be magnificent. Plus, you could really promote it to the opposite sex because no women have gone yet, Emily.
Yeah.
No.
Yep. It's sad but true.
Yeah. I really appreciate you coming on and talking about this. Thank you very
much.
Can
we ask her before we let her go, can we ask her about the broom?
Oh, sure. Get ready for this,
this
Emily.
This is a really technical question.
Emily, the other day.
Emily, Dan hears that we have a scientist on the show who knows something about planets, and he goes, ooh, I got to do the broom question.
So, all right. So I'm quaking in my boots.
The other,
She's only been on the show 10 minutes, and she totally gets it.
She knows. The other day, my mother-in-law called us, and she said that she was talking to an astrologist. And this astrologist said that the moon and Jupiter and Venus and there was another, I think Saturn, were all lined up the other night. And that you could take a broom and set it in your kitchen, and it would just stand up on its bristles.
This is a true story. He did it.
Now, listen, we tried that, and then I called other people, and I have a broom that's on an angle. We had two brooms standing on their bristles in our kitchen.
And we've had other people who've called in and tried it this afternoon, and it worked as well.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So it wasn't.
That's the experiment you got to do. You got to do it at the special time, and you got to do it at the non-special time.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's no such thing.
Is there? There's no science to that, is there?
There's absolutely no science to that. But hey, I bet you had a lot of fun standing the broom on its bristles.
Yeah, I was trying to explain to Dan earlier today that the gravitational pull of Neptune was not specifically on your mom's kitchen that day.
You should try it,
Emily.
Probably
true. You should worry more about the gravitational pull of whatever SUV you've got sitting in your driveway than Neptune.
Well, I have an Equinox in my driveway.
There you go.
There you go. Emily, thanks very much.
You're quite welcome. Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. Emily Lakdawala, planetary geologist and blogger for the Planetary Society.
And does she have a story to tell her colleagues? You won't believe what they ask.
Oh, yeah, the broom. Idiotic broom thing.
This idiot dad. And then they'll go and they'll set a broom up and they'll all look at it and take pictures of it.
Oh, man.